So last week I asked this question. I'm speaking about living in 3D. Now for those, if you're male, you probably know this. There's something called TV, and it's in 3D these days. Okay, especially if you're male, you probably know this, and you get 3D. And it's the ultimate, it's the coolest. It's that's where you want to be. You want to have a 3D TV. Okay, so one day when you're big, you'll have a 3D TV. But in our spiritual lives, I believe as well, you can live in 1D or 2D, you can live in 3D. You can live the fullness of God, or you can remain with average. You can remain with SABC rugby, or you can go the full on DSTV HD with surround sound. Okay? Huh? Or you can be there. Okay, that's true. That's the next level. And so last week I shared about you can be a spectator or you can actually be a player. And I asked this question: how's your hearing? How's your hearing? When it comes to the Word of God, how's your hearing? Do you hear the Word of God? When God speaks, is it like you hear it or you sort of casual with the Word of God? And how you hear will determine how you respond. And so I spoke about last week, the D for the week was do it. Do. Just do it. Nike, okay? Just do it. That's where you want to come to. And the Word of God says that when you do it, there's a blessing that comes upon your life. And so many people remain on the spectator field. They don't step out. They don't become players, and so they don't experience the fullness of God's blessing. And so some of us this morning are becoming players or swimmers, which is great. It's a step of obedience. It's just very, very special. So I shared about the book of James. It's a book of action. Huge number of just do it, do this, do that. But every second verse is a do it verse. And then in James 2, verse 17, it says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So faith, if it does not have works, is dead. When you actually step out, when you say, I believe, and now your actions correspond to your faith, then it shows you have faith. It's real. You become a player. You're no longer a spectator. And so this morning I want to take it more than I've asked, how's your hearing? Now I want to ask something else which is critical for becoming a player, for becoming to position yourself in a place you can truly be blessed. And that question is, how's your dying? How's your dying? Huh? What do you mean with dying? Dying to self. You see, if self reigns in your life, you're always going to go astray. You're going to go where you should not be going. When self reigns, we find ourselves in terrible places. You've probably all seen the little cartoons with the angel on the one shoulder and a devil on the other shoulder. And the little devil says, take the chocolate. And the angel says, no, don't do it, don't do it. And then the devil says, no, take the chocolate, it's got to be nice. And the little angel says, no, don't do it, you're going to be fat. That sounds like the devil. Then you take the chocolate, and then the devil comes, hey, you're fat, you're fat, you're fat. Okay, so, but there's this internal wrestling. Now, chocolate's not a major thing. Just to give you an example. I'm sure you've experienced this. An internal wrestling. Internal wrestling. Should I not? Should I watch the second rug? pressure. The pressure was too big. Where was I until my battery interrupted me? This wrestling thing on the inside of us. Who's experienced that? If you're human, you know it. And so a part of you wants to go where you know you should not be going, and another part of you is saying, no, go the way God wants you to go. And that wrestling thing becomes more amplified when selfishness is alive. But when that dies, you're free to follow God. So that's sort of what I want to touch on. So the second D is, how's your dying? How is your dying? James 1, verse 21. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So last week I shared about this. The heart of man is like a garden. A garden. And if the word of God is not in that garden, what will you have? You'll have weeds. Lots and lots of weeds. That's the overflow of wickedness, filthiness. The weeds will just grow and grow and grow. It's like self becomes more pronounced. And there's no more space for the word of God to come in. So when the weeds grow, and when that's overtaking your garden of your heart, it's hard to follow God. It's hard to say yes to God. So our sinful nature is like a stubborn mule. It's like, you know that's the good way, but something inside says, no, I want to go that way, that stubbornness. And I so see that so often. So self, that stubbornness gets us into trouble. I see this every now and again. When I speak to people, I find them standing on the 10th story of an office block, wanting to jump. But they don't realize it. They don't realize it in the same way as you have gravity, and if you defy gravity, if you jump off the 10th story, it's going to hurt, unless you are Superman. Most of us are not. You'll hurt. And so the same way, so often we find ourselves, people are breaking God's law, His word, His directives, and so we're sort of jumping off 10th story buildings. And it's not like the Matrix. When you hit the floor, you just wake up on the other side, okay? It's like pain, destructive, you know? And so our sinful nature causes us to wanting to go astray the whole time. It's your greatest enemy, self. Do you know that you are sleeping with the enemy every night? That's not your wife. It's you. It's you. Our greatest battle is not the devil. Our greatest battle is often here inside. And the devil works with what's inside. He focuses on your weaknesses. He focuses on your temptations, things that will tempt you. And so the more pronounced that self is, the more in trouble you will find yourself. Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There is a way that seems right. There is a way that this world gives to us and says, this is the way you do it. And the moment we take the bait and we start walking that way, we find ourselves in trouble. We find ourselves jumping off that 10th story into pain, relational pain, marital pain, and so forth. And so there's just two things I want to highlight in terms of this, where I think self battles so powerfully. The one is control. Control. The world demands that we keep control. If you are strong, you have control. That's what the world tells us. You get your way. You do it your way. But you have control. Okay? So that's the one thing, control. You see, but when we come to Scripture, this is this powerful contradiction. It says, no, give over control. Give over control. And that's how they go, no, but I want control. No, give over control. Why? Because when you do that, you transfer. The moment you give control over to God, it's like you transfer your life, your resources, your whole being is transferred into the kingdom of God, where God reigns, where God's will be done. So you're safe. But as long as you actually hold on to control, as long as you say, my way, I will have my way, I will fight for my way, you find yourself outside of the will of God and in a dangerous place. You're vulnerable. You're vulnerable. And this is so hard. I see it over and over again, especially, I think, for ladies who are married, this is very hard. The whole submission thing, the S word. It's hard. It's hard to give over control. We like to keep our husband on a bit of a leash, maybe. I don't know. But it's hard to give over control to God and say, God, I'm going to follow this imperfect man who makes mistakes. Control is very, very hard to let go. And so this morning, as we're going to be baptizing people, baptism is a picture of surrender. As you go under that water, you surrender. You say, God, I'm letting go. I'm letting go to you. Second area where self reigns so powerfully is comfort. Comfort. We always choose the path of least resistance. We don't like to be uncomfortable. Anybody that likes to be uncomfortable? No, we don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like to be out of our comfort zone. The kingdom happens outside of your comfort. The kingdom comes outside of your comfort. I've been sharing about this. Adventure is out there, outside of your box, outside of your comfort. Outside of your comfort. And so when it comes to baptism, it's a bit uncomfortable. Because you can say, God, why water? Why must I go underwater in front of witnesses? It's uncomfortable. You're stepping out into a place where the kingdom can come. It is very, very special. So there's a principle seen in the Bible. It says, if you want it, you need to give it away. If you want control, you need to give it away. If you want comfort and security, you need to give it away, because then God gives it to you. It's very powerful. And it's all about the heart. And so you need to come to this place. Matthew 16, verse 24 to 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, that's Jesus speaking, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That says, for if anyone, what does it mean? It's everyone. It's for everyone. This is for everyone. Jesus saying, if you want to know me, if you want to have the fullness of God in your life, if you want to have everything your heart desires, which we truly want is God, you need to take this step. You need to take this step. Deny self. Ego. That's amazing when you talk about relationships, conflict. And we've been talking about relationships the past few weeks, and so I just want to add something there. When it comes to conflict, marital conflict maybe, husband-wife, just amazing. It says, deny self. It's amazing that when you, in speaking to your partner, and maybe she or he does something that really upsets you, it's wrong, it's like, I am, my ego has just been hurt. So what do you do then? You know you can now, or you can like, the ego self says, I'm going to make him pay for this. Don't do this to me. And so we can do the same. Husbands, we can also, I'm going to make her pay. She did this. And then, all the married people, how does it go? Two egos bouncing around. Resolution there, reconciliation, Love? Nope. No love. Just, I loved her 15 minutes ago. Now I feel like a divorce. It switches so quickly from we were in love to I want to run away. It's amazing how sensitive relational things are. And it comes down to ego. Deny self. Choose then to bite your lip, let it slide, let it go, forgive, and be reconciled. It says, deny himself, and then it says, take up his cross and follow me. I've been thinking about this in the last few weeks. The cross is not a nice thing. If you look how Jesus died, it was the thing he was terrified of. He said, Father, if there's some other way, give me another way. I take this cup from me. But Jesus says, you must. God says, you must take up your cross. What is that cross? I think that sometimes, as you want to follow God, there's this challenge. You know, as a Christian, we are supposed to love people. And I think as a Christian, we want people to like us or love us. And so the self part says, I would like people to like me, or I would like people to whatever, you know, the whole thing about love me. You know, I'm not sure all of us can say that. But the challenging thing is when you follow Jesus, you're going to be unpopular sometimes. When you follow Jesus, there could be people that don't like the way you follow Jesus. And I think it's probably one of the worst things for me as a pastor or as a Christian is just when there's irreconcilable relationships, or it feels irreconcilable. It just feels we were friends, but now we're no longer. It doesn't matter what I do, we can't find one another again. Do you know what is that? That can't find one another? It's your cross. Because you still need to follow Jesus. You can't go and sit in a corner and cry and give up. You still need to decide, I'm going to follow Jesus. You could be at work and there's somebody difficult and you don't want to be there anymore, but you feel God has said you should be there. That relationship is your cross. To keep on loving, to keep on forgiving, to still be Christ-like. And so I believe God is going to give us opportunities in our lives. The Bible says an offended brother, it's more difficult to win an offended brother back than to win a fortified city. It's unbelievably hard. And so that offense, in a sense, becomes one's cross. You say, God, why is this? And then God would say, you need this. Shouldn't have been maybe, but you need this. Why? You need to die. You need to come to a place where you say, God, I trust you to protect hearts. I trust you for relationships because they are so fragile. God, we can't do this without you. We can't do church without you, God, because hearts are so fragile. Marriage is so fragile. You can't do it without God. And so maybe you have a relationship in your life that's a challenge. Maybe there's somebody, every time you see them, or it just frustrates you, challenges you. See it as your cross. See it as your cross and say, God, here I come to die to self. Here I come to humble myself. Here I come to pick up my cross and to follow you. This is very powerful. And so in the Bible, we find two types of guys. The one who worshipped self, that was King Saul. He was always about me and myself, my popularity and what the people want. That's what I want. And then you had King David, the man after God's own heart. And his heart was, God, I'm a worshiper of you. I will follow you even if I'm unpopular. I'm going to follow. I'm willing to die to self. And so follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. This is what a Christian is called to do, to follow Jesus above everything and everybody else. Follow Jesus. Be a doer of the word. And baptism, in a sense, is a picture of that. God, I am stepping out. I'm laying down my life. When we lay down our lives unto God, when we're willing to lay down self and to choose His will, His way, His word, then you step into the kingdom. Maybe that's a foreign concept. Maybe you don't know what that means. That's where you want to be. That's where life happens. We'll be saying this morning, God, your presence, how I love your presence, how I love your presence. When you follow Him, you're in His presence. When you choose your own way, it becomes cold and dry, and you don't know why, but you don't experience God's presence anymore. Why? Because you've gone astray. There's nothing like the presence of God. Nothing like the presence of God. And so there is a call to come to the cross. And this is why it's so powerful for us to baptize people today. It's a picture of coming to the cross. It's a picture of dying to self. It's so special. And so the cross says, come and lay down self. Come and lay down self. Galatians 2 verse 20. I have, this Apostle Paul speaking, this is powerful. I have been crucified with Christ. I've died with Him. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Apostle Paul saying, I've died. Self has died, but now I truly live. It's weird. It's like a paradox. It doesn't make sense. You think, but if I have my way, I'll be blessed. No. You'll jump off a 10-story building and hurt yourself. That's why God says, He says, come, follow me. Why? Because this is a safe place. Come, follow me. I'm going to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. But if you choose your way, it hurts. I've experienced this so often in my life. I've just found, that's why I just know the Word of God is supernatural. I know the Word of God is truly come forth from God, because whenever I do it, it works. And when I break it, ain't nah. Eh? Who's experienced the ain't nah of disobeying the Word of God? Anybody? Eh? Yeah. It really. And so something needs to settle in our hearts, but we need to become more than just intentional, say, I just want to obey. We need to come to a place where we say, but I deny self. I deny self. Don't think Hunley is here this morning, but last night I just told her she's a dietitian, but not your average dietitian. She's a super dietitian. Okay, you have ordinary humans and then you have superhumans. She's up there and she has the unbelievable control, self-control when it comes to food. So last night we had this wedding and they bring in plate after plate, four-course meal, and then she just passes it over to husband. I think, Hanley, that's amazing. And then she said it's really not so hard. She says she's trained herself over time, that she has no desire for chocolates anymore. She has no desire for all those other stuff anymore. You see, I just say the word chocolates, and all of you getting saliva in your mouth. But Hanley, she just goes. That's amazing. And it's the same for us as Christians. As we walk the road, we come to a place that the old stuff, the self, starts to die more and more and more. It's a wonderful place to be. You know, it's amazing to get up in the day and not have a craving for something that you should know is not good for you. You know, that's amazing. It's freedom. It's not freedom just to do whatever you want to do. It's freedom to be able to follow God without self being in the way. So this is very powerful. Baptism is a picture of dying with Christ. And I just want to hold this before. In James chapter 2, it speaks about Abraham. It speaks about Abraham and how he showed real faith. Now, this man is amazing. He was called the friend of God. But he was given a challenge, the ultimate challenge. In Genesis 22, verse 1 to 2, very powerful. It says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abram. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. He waited for 20, 30 years for this boy. He trusted God for 20, 30 years. The son is a miracle. And then he says, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now you must think about this. For Abram, he would rather have laid, he would rather kill himself than sacrifice his own son. The son was his everything. This is his life. And this is the promise of God. So he must so have battled in his heart and mind, say, God, how can you ask me to do this? But if you read in the New Testament, it says, but he trusted that even if he would die, God would raise him again from the dead. And then Genesis 22, verse 4 to 5, the next morning, Abram went, and then it says, then on the third day, Abram lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. And so Abram said, I'm going to worship God now. I'm going to worship him. You see, worship is not a song. Worship is to say, God, I choose to follow you. I choose to follow you. Despite self, despite my confusion, despite not understanding what you are doing here, I trust you. I'm going to follow you. And that's what worship is. And so God put this before Abram and he said, now go do this. And then Abram went with the lad, with his Isaac. Isaac had the wood on his back and he was to be sacrificed. And so they walked to this mountain, to this place. And as he was about to kill him with a knife, God spoke out of heaven and said, stop. And he said, now I know. Now I know. And they say that that same place where Isaac, and God then gave a ram in the thicket that was sacrificed in the place of his son. And they say that was the place where Jesus was crucified. A few thousand years later. It's so powerful. So powerful. Listen to this, verse 15 to 18. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abram a second time out of heaven. And he said, by myself I've sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this. Not just said this, because you have done this, because you've obeyed and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. All because Abram obeyed God. He did it. He was the original Nike Christian. He just did it. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because what? Because you've obeyed my voice. Because you listened, you heard the word, and despite self and your desires, you obeyed. And you might think, that's so freaky, yeah? Weird. This is God controlling? Is he trying just to be this puppet master in the sky? Just do, I say you do, I say you do. I could probably sing a song about that. No, because he loves you. And he knows the good way. He knows the good path. He knows I've set out this destiny for you where there is blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Now follow me. Follow me. It's liberating. Every time I've stepped out in my life where I felt God lead me in a certain way and I knew it was him, and when I'd step out, the blessing is just amazing. But if you remain a spectator, you're missing out. You're missing out on the fullness of knowing God. Romans 12, verse 1, almost finished. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies. As we're going to be baptizing people, this is the presenting of their bodies as a living sacrifice before God. God, it's weird to be baptized, but God, you say it in your word, so I'm going to do it. That's powerful. That's powerful. That's special. And for us, maybe you have been baptized. Every time you come to worship, you're in church or somewhere else, every time you worship, you're presenting your body as a living sacrifice, saying, God, here I am again. I want to know you. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. And God will bless you abundantly. Okay, so what is baptism? Baptism is our graveyard. Graveyard of self. Graveyard of everything that you despise in yourself. The stubbornness, all that stuff, the past. It's a graveyard. That's a graveyard. When people are baptized, as they go underwater, they leave behind everything they've done in their past. They leave it there. It is liberating. And then when they arise from the waters, they arise to new life in Christ. It is so powerful. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, he preached an amazing message. 3,000 people then said after his message, well, what must we do? They were cut to the heart. They were convicted. They realized we have not been following God. And they said, what must we do? And he said, repent, turn back to Jesus, turn back to God today, and be baptized for the remission of sins. And then 3,000 people were baptized on that same day. Baptism is not something we are aiming for one day. It's the first step of obedience, followed by a lifetime, a lifestyle of obedience. Every day I'm following Jesus. Every day I'm following Jesus. Every day I'm laying down my life to God. The first step of obedience, and it should reflect a lifetime of obedience. Just this last scripture, Romans 6 verse 4. It says, for we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. This is so special. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. When self is not reigning anymore, you can live. When self reigns, there's just trouble. And that's what baptism represents. So I want to ask those that, are you guys ready to be baptized yet? Do you have changed clothes, or are you just going to go as you are? You need to change, then please go. Oh, well, let's do it like this. Let's do it like this. Come forward. I just want them all to share very shortly, just for 30 seconds or a minute, and then I'm going to give a break, then they're going to change, and you can grab a cup of coffee, and then we're going to baptize people. So everybody that wants to be baptized, please come stand here with me. Come stand here with me before you change. This is so exciting. When I became a believer, I remember about 3 months after becoming a believer, I was still so struggling to connect with God. And I thought, yeah, these Christians, they're so excited about God. I'm not relating. And then I got baptized. I got baptized in the middle of a Springbok versus All Black rugby test. In the middle of winter in an icy cold dam in the Cape. I didn't see any angels. But about 4 days later, my life radically changed. Because there's a blessing on obedience. It's very special. So I'm going to ask them just to very shortly share why they want to be baptized, or how they feel about Jesus. their relationship about Jesus. We've been walking with some of these young people now for a year or two or more, and it's just amazing to see what God is doing in their lives. Okay, so let's start over here. Should we start with Luwazi? You can stand there. I want to pray for Luwazi, actually. Come stand here. When he was in grade 9, I prayed for him, and I felt that God has a special leadership calling on his life. And so, what, about a month ago, he emailed me and said, now he's elected as the head boy of Selborne. And we're just proud of you. You don't need to do anything. We're already proud of you. You can just be you. So I just quickly want to pray for him, and then we're just going to have them share. Father, we thank you for Luwazi, God. We thank you for the call upon his life and upon each of these people here, Lord God. But we just want to commit this next year into your hands, God. Father, we want to celebrate this Son of God. We want to celebrate, God, this day, this step of obedience, this laying down of his life for you. And God, we honor you for that. We commit him into your hands. We commit him and ask, God, that you will fill him with your Spirit like never before, that you'll give him wisdom and guidance and boldness and confidence to not go the way of popularity, but to go the way of Christ. God, we bless you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much. Well, for baptism, for me, basically, it was like something that was like at the back of my mind, but I was sort of like putting it off because like I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it later, type of thing. Then when like I heard that they're doing it today, I was like, instead of like asking why, I sort of like thought, why not, type of thing. And I couldn't really come up with any like reasons why I shouldn't do it, because I've been like on this journey with God for quite a while. So I thought, okay, let me just go for it. So like I spoke to my mother and everything, and she said she was like basically cool with it. She sort of like grilled me a bit, but yeah, that was cool. So like I basically feel like this is, like Andre said, it's like a step of obedience and everything. So in a way, I sort of got this picture of, like, you know, God is like the main goal. He's like the thing that you're reaching for, type of thing. You, like, our purpose in life is basically to have like a relationship with God and everything. So like I sort of felt like at the moment I was like going towards that, but I was still on gravel road. So I feel like after this baptism, I'll sort of be like on tarred road in a way. So like the obstacles will still be there and everything, but I feel like I'll be cruising more. So like at least I'll be, yeah, you know. So, yeah.
Amen. Okay. Okay, we're just going to go down the road. You don't have to clap hands after every person. We're just going to go down the road.
Okay. Hello. Okay. Well, I've basically been a Christian most of my life, and like the lights really started switching on like after we met Andre, and like started doing Salad Hostel and stuff. Like I really started understanding things, and then like Sean and Rulaf has been like such huge blessings to us. Like it's so cool like knowing people who like genuinely care about your well-being and spiritual growth. So like, and who can like relate to you. So like that's awesome. And like I'm getting baptized because like I feel I'm ready to take that like type of commitment and like declare to the world and myself and God that I'm ready to commit and, you know, die to self and that type of thing. So like I'm also at a really critical stage in my life. Like there's so much that I want to do, and like I've got plans and goals, and like I've already planned out like the next 10 years or whatever. And like I like to think a lot. Like I stress and worry and like that about like almost everything. So like doing this or like be like me just giving over control or whatever. So yeah.
Well, yeah. I've also been a Christian for a long time now, and like it started basically in my family, but I wasn't like proper Christian. I just did my own thing. Just went to church because my parents said, yeah, go to church and stuff like that. And then early in 2008, I got saved. But, like, I was still, like, being me, you know, doing my thing. And then, yeah, I started this Bible study thing with my group. And, you know, I wasn't, like, the perfect Christian in a way. But, like, God was always there for me. Like, I'd go astray, and then he'll still be there. And I'd, like, realize, like, later on, like, wow, thank you, God, for being there. And he always, like, do great things for me, even though I didn't notice. So, like, I thought, because we had this thing going on, like, 2009, where Andre asked us if we wanted to get baptized. And we had to ask our parents, and I asked my mom, like, Mom, can I get baptized? Like, no. Or straight away, and that's where it ended off. But, like, recently she's, like, given me the word, like, the power to take my own decisions, and that's why I decided, yeah, I'm going to do this baptism thing. And in a way, it's just, like, a step of obedience for me to, like, say thank you to God for being there for me and, like, just give myself to him finally. And, yeah, that's how it is.
For me, I've always, like, been, like, the good guy type of thing, but I haven't, like, been a Christian. Like, I'll do all my, I've got, like, good habits and stuff, but I'm not, like, a Christian. And I've always seen, like, guys getting baptized and, like, going underwater. Like, it's a bit dodge, but one day I want to do it. So when I heard about this opportunity, I was like, okay, sure, why not? Let me just do it. That's the first reason. The second reason is that I just want everyone, like around me, like my family, because everyone in my family has been baptized except me. Because, like, whenever the date comes, like, for my mom or my whoever wants to get baptized at home, I'd, like, run away and, like, okay, I'll be there, but I'll be like, I forgot, or so that type of thing. So when the time came, I was like, okay, I'm tired of running now. Let me just do it, get over and done with. And then I called my mom, and she was, like, okay with it, and that's the first reason. The second reason is that I just want everyone here, like, to know that I'm, like, a Christian now, and yeah, my relationship with God is like getting stronger. And the other reason is that I just feel that after I'm, like, baptized, that it's gonna be like the cherry on top or the bump to my face or whatever, whatever you wanna call it, or the, like, gravy to my rice type of thing. I just feel that, like, it's going to be like putting the missing piece to my puzzle, like, completing me. And I just feel that I'm going to be, like, happy with my life, and, like, I'm going to be full. That's me.
Hi. what happened to me was that, okay, I first wanted to get baptized. I was so into it. And then I kind of changed my mind. And then Ashley said something to me. And then I was like, still having doubts. And then I went to youth. And the funny thing is, someone was preaching something about just going to God. Don't think about it, just go. And then I was like, then I looked at Ashley, and Ashley looked at me, and then I was like, Ashley, you know, and, like, we had this connection, and then I was like, yeah, I want to get baptized, because, you know, I just want to do it. And then another thing is, my sister, she's older, obviously, and she's in university, and we haven't spoken for a long time, not because we don't want to, but just time, you know. And then she called me, and then she was like, God wants you to come to him. And then I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is beautiful. Because, you know, someone just calls you and tells you that. It's like, wow, I can't handle that. And then she tells me that God wants you to come. And I'm like, I know. And then she's like, then what are you waiting for? And I'm like, I don't know. And then she's like, go for it. And I'm like, yes. And then, yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay. I have this mom, and she's, like, a hardcore Christian. She goes to church every day. And then when she prays, she's crying, like, hey, I want to do that. But then I've never really gone to church. Like, where I'm from, everybody speaks Setswana, and it's like hardcore Setswana. So when I go there, I'm like, yeah, amen. And I just go along with everyone else. And then God brought me to East London. I was like, East London, where's that? Yeah, but no, I knew that. Other people didn't know. Okay. And I was like, East London. And then I started coming to Shofar. I was like, ooh, Shofar. And then for the first time in my life, I didn't fall asleep at church. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is the church. And then, like, I don't know, my connection with God has become so much stronger. And then getting baptized is like that one extra step to getting there. So, yeah.
Well, for me, I've always been like a guy that goes all out in anything I do. I don't do half jobs or anything like that. So for me, when I like met God and I got saved, I wanted to take the next step and I kept going at it. And I just believe that getting baptized would be like the next step for me to show God that I really want to be his son. I really want to be a part of him and part of the moving group that's coming. So yeah.
Okay, I was baptized when I was a lot younger, and since then I backslid quite a lot in that, and so I wasn't always the good guy, but you just got to leave that behind, you know, and once the Lord knows you, he never lets you go, so I just felt it's time, and then also my mom was in a terrible car accident, and just quickly what happened, her car was stolen last year, and then somebody in the family said, the Lord's going to use this to bless our family, this car being stolen. And, okay, so she was given an old Audi, like a much bigger car, like more solid. And on the day of our wedding, she was going to go in her old vehicle, because the cops had then found this vehicle that was stolen. Sorry, maybe I'm a bit confusing here, but they found the other car. And she was going to go in her old car to the wedding. And when she got to the garage to fetch the car, the guy had already left, so she couldn't take that car. So she took the Audi. And she had this big accident, and our maid passed away. The other guy passed away, but she lived. And they said it was because she was in that Audi, that she had actually lived. She was in the other car, which was a much smaller car, she may have been killed. So that was almost a year later from when somebody had said, the Lord's going to use this car being stolen to bless the family. So for me, that was quite a big thing. And so I just want to give thanks. That's really why I've decided to come.
To me, this morning is about obedience to God, because when I was thinking of what I was going to say, I can just testify of so many things that God has done for me. And yeah, one of them is that he's lifted me up from severe depression that I went through as a teenager. And yeah, I just want to glorify him because he's been so faithful in my life, even when I have let him down.
For me, my faith's been sort of very watery over the years. I've been going to church, I've been to many places. But, you know, it's time now, like Andre says, to leave it all behind and go for it all the way. So that's basically why I'm here. I'm going to be leaving everything behind and going forward from here.
Morning, everyone. I'm basically friends with Sean. So on Friday, he told me that they're going to be doing baptizing people today. So I thought, why not? Because I've been delaying all this time. And yesterday I was reading in the Word of God, and it said that we need to get baptized to fulfill all righteousness. So what I'm basically doing this just to grow spiritually with God. Thank you.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Basically, I remember when it was Sal, but like not everyone was there. So I told Ashley the story where, for me, I was struggling to get more spiritual with God, and basically it was like a wall I had to climb over, and I wasn't getting there. So she told us about getting baptized. Well, I was baptized when I was young, but I just don't remember. And this time I want to do it because I want to, not because I had to.
Okay, well, like, I sort of gave my life to God, but then, you know, sometimes you just want to be like, you want to give it to him, but then at the same time you don't want to. And then when Etzal actually said that, no, there's going to be a baptism service at church, I thought to myself, why don't I do it? Because, like, God has been with me through so many ups and downs and trials and tribulations, that it was only the right thing for me to give my life fully to God and to make a public declaration that, you know, I've given my life to God. So that's why I've decided to get baptized today.
Well, I'm Vuyo. And the reason why I'm getting baptized today is that 3 years ago I got baptized and I was like 12. And like, I didn't fully understand, like, why should I get baptized? My mom just said, well, just get baptized. I mean, you gave your life to God, so why don't you just do it? And, like, obviously, you know, you don't do the right things because you don't understand it. And now I've got, like, a more clear understanding of why you should get baptized. And I think it's, like, the least I should do because God has, like, done so much things, especially in the year 2009. Yeah, so that's why I'm getting baptized.
Okay, I gave my life to the Lord when I was very young. I was like about 5 years old, but I knew exactly what I was doing. And I grew up in a Christian home, went to Sunday school, did all that stuff. But my Christian life wasn't always perfect, and I strayed from God for a while. And I always could still see his hand in my life, opening doors and closing doors for me. Sorry. So I just want to do, I want to get baptized as a step of obedience and to honor him for what he's done in my life and for never letting me go. Thanks.
Okay, well, I've grown up in a Christian home, and so when I was much younger, I got baptized because that was just what you did. And I didn't understand why I was doing it. I just did it because I had to, and I was told to by my parents. And now I know the reason why you get baptized, and I feel like I'm ready to take that next step because from when I came to East London in 2010, I've just grown so much spiritually, and my relationship with God is just so much stronger than what it used to be, and I'm ready to surrender and take that next step that I need to just get closer to him.
Just really want to read a scripture.
I think the scriptures for all of you guys, just remember the scripture. But when the kindness of and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become his, having the hope of eternal life.
Amen. Okay, so we're going to take a 10-minute break.